Happy Easter. We are so glad to have you join us today on this special edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. We're here celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On today's PowerPoint, we're celebrating Easter by worshiping with the Prestonwood Choir, and then later, you do not want to miss Pastor Graham's message as he shares about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So stay tuned. PowerPoint with Jack Graham begins right now. We pray this PowerPoint television broadcast is a blessing to you each week. We also want to invite you to deepen your relationship with Christ by connecting with us at PowerPoint Online. At jackgraham.org, you'll be able to access thousands of hours of solid, biblical, gospel-centered preaching from Pastor Jack Graham. And you'll be able to shop our online store, submit a prayer request, learn what it means to be a Christian, or even give a secure online donation. On our site, you'll also be able to connect with Pastor Graham on Twitter and Facebook. There's not much that happens in a day that Pastor Graham doesn't tweet or Facebook about, so we encourage you to get connected. You'll also see how God uses your gifts and prayers to impact lives just like yours around the world. JackGraham.org is your one-stop shop to deepen your walk with Christ and to get to know Pastor Graham better. So visit us online today.
Easter is one of the most important days in the Christian faith. We are reminded that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that we can have eternal life. And today I want to extend to you a special invitation. Let me invite you to come to Prestonwood and celebrate Easter with us at any of our three campuses in Plano, Prosper, or Dallas. It's vitally important to be rooted in a local church, and I'd love to see you here with us at Prestonwood. It would be a pleasure to meet you.
Never once did we ever walk alone.
And never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy can say, yes, our hearts can say.
Let's say it.
Never once did we ever walk alone.
Never once
did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. When kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy we never walk alone.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, let's worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, we worship Your holy name. Amen, church. Let's sing this out.
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless you, Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship Your holy name.
You know, an important ingredient for your spiritual growth as a Christian is the fellowship of other believers. We all need to be a part of a church family. And that's why I want to personally invite you to come and visit us here at Prestonwood. Here at Prestonwood, we encourage you to come as you are, seeking answers for life, comfort, and encouragement. And so whether you're looking for a church home or want a fresh start or maybe just curious, we welcome you. But once you come, you'll find much more than a church. You'll discover a Christian family. You'll find friends, mentors, and prayer partners here. And our passion is to help you grow in your faith through discipleship and the teaching of God's Word, so that together we may introduce others to Jesus Christ and make a positive impact in this generation. So come worship with us at Prestonwood at one of our three locations in Dallas, Plano, or Prosper. We hope to see you very, very soon.
Conquered sin for us through his blood we are made free.
Prestonwood is big because of its heart. It's not the size of the membership, but the ministry and the love and the devotion to God and to Christ that makes a church.
We exist for those who are not yet here.
When we look and say, what makes Prestonwood Prestonwood? Obviously, it's the hand of God on this church, but it's also the people, it's you.
How do we get this big? By the grace of God, by the love of God, we are transformed by the good news, the gospel of Christ.
This church, you know, has a good reputation across the country for the glory of God. It really is exciting, and you gotta keep it going until Jesus comes back.
I'm praying in these days that God would do a greater work in all of us, that our church would shine brighter and better for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that in these days until He comes again, that we will fulfill the mission of Christ, that this church would be ablaze, the power and the presence of God Almighty.
People of Prestonwood, for us, they've been very welcoming, be it a stranger we've seen for the first time or somebody I've served in the parking ministry with.
Being raised Muslim and then converted to Christianity, it's not easy. Watching people getting baptized from different countries and hearing different testimonies, it's been eye-opening for me. The decision that I've made about believing in Christ is the right decision.
When we watched Gospel for Asia come in and the church responded with over 1,000 commitments to the Dalit children, that blew my mind. And then that came full circle for me, not knowing at the time Gospel for Asia was here that I was going to get to go to India and serve those same children that this church just sponsored.
All these children hear about the Lord Jesus Christ through them impacting the community.
Give me a passionate, devotional love and desire for you.
Prestonwood has been a home to me. I know it's for some people it seems like it's a huge church and all, but for me it just felt like home.
I called myself a Christian, but maybe I was kind of faking it. When it got to the real stuff, I feel like I kind of just grazed by.
I was raised in the church to a degree. I knew Christ and didn't really truly get to know Him. Until coming to Prestonwood.
I've gotten caught up in life in Dallas and work, and there's been a resurgence or a renewal of passion to serve. It's been life-changing for me, the relationships, the opportunities.
been married for 14 years, and at the time, I didn't love him. He loved me, and we both basically emptied our savings account going through the divorce. He kept on fighting for us, but I had given up by then. After the divorce, I had no feelings whatsoever.
I was abused. That took all of my self-worth away. I didn't know where to put my happiness, where to put my trust.
July 28th of last year, we actually got remarried in our class. So happy and so blessed. I got my joy back. I got my life back, my husband and my boys.
For me, as an adult, I'd never been baptized. I felt it was important to have that public profession of faith.
We're certainly going to be pursuing missions with a different focus and through a different lens than maybe we did in the past.
I just feel like God is doing amazing things in my life, and it would never have been possible if I hadn't come to Prestonwood.
So thankful for our church. It has definitely changed my whole family. I have tears in my eyes when I think about it, that I can't tell you how blessed I am, how happy I am. The power of His love can get you through anything.
The very atmosphere must change. We'll be transformed. We'll never be the same. How? By the holy name of Jesus. It is this name that we preach. It is this name that we proclaim. What kind of church are you? Before we're a Baptist church, listen to me. We are a Jesus church. It is His name that we praise and proclaim and lift high. And we're going to do it until He comes back. There is power in the name of Jesus.
My message today from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, is a testimony of my own faith. Why I personally follow Jesus. I heard about a guy who went on a vacation to Israel, to the Holy Land. He took his wife and his mother-in-law. Now, unfortunately, while he was in the Holy Land, his mother-in-law passed away. And so what to do? Well, the undertaker said, you can ship her body back to the States. It'll cost you $7,500. Or you can bury her here for $150. Well, he thought about that for a while and said, okay, I want to ship her back to the United States. He said, how can that be? It costs so much. Why would you do that? He said, well, I heard about a man 2,000 years ago who was buried here in Israel, in the Holy Land. On the third day, he came out of the grave, and I just can't take that chance. Happy Easter to all the mothers-in-law. We love you. Jesus did come out of the grave, and it's crucial that you believe this, because everything in our faith is hinged
on the history and the reality of the resurrection. If Christ is not risen, then we have no faith. But because Christ is alive, we can live and to live abundantly and eternally. And so in the 24th chapter, let me give you a bit of a background here. The 24th chapter of Luke, this is the evening of the resurrection. Christ has come out of the grave at dawn on the first day of the week. The tomb was empty. Some women had arrived first early to anoint his body, and the angel was there and said, "He's not here, he is risen." Later, Peter and John rushed to the tomb. They found the same condition. The tomb was open, the stone was rolled away, but Jesus was gone. And then the word began to spread throughout Jerusalem. Now, hopes were dashed and dreams were destroyed when Jesus died on that cross. So many had hoped that he was the Messiah, and now it seemed that everything was gone. And so at the end of the day, the end of that first Easter, there were two very confused and really despondent men, followers of Jesus, who were walking along the road that is known as the road to Emmaus, on their way to a village called Emmaus. In fact, verse 13 says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things, note, that happened. Now, the first reason I follow Jesus is because of historical reasons. The fact is, these things actually, literally happened. The Christian faith is not built upon legend or lies, folklore or tales or fables or superstitions or Christian propaganda, but on the reality, the fact that there was a man by the name of Jesus who walked on planet Earth. When Jesus questioned them, these two men, concerning their conversation on the road, and asked them what they were talking about, the things that they were talking about, they said in verse 19, and he said to them, these are the words of Jesus, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. No one ever did the things that Jesus had done, the mighty indeed. No one had ever said the kinds of things that Jesus had said. The life that he lived, the words that he said were so powerful that these have changed the world. And the events that happened are historical events. Now, this is critical to the Christian faith because ours is an historical faith. It is a faith that is built upon facts. And the fact is that no reputable scholar or otherwise believes that Jesus somehow did not exist, that he was a myth or a legend of some kind. Yes, he lived, and secular history corroborates that fact. The gospel writers are clear on this. The early church, the fact that the church was birthed and thousands of people initially began to spread the message, the flame of the gospel around the world. The effect of Jesus on history. He is the creator of humanity. He is also the author of history. All of history is divided by Jesus, BC and AD. So because of historical reasons, we can believe the eyewitnesses, the empty tomb, the effect of the gospel upon the world, the early church. Yes, Jesus lived. And there's plenty of evidence to believe that Jesus came out of the grave. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And so very quickly, and certainly we could take a great deal of time talking about the historical realities of the resurrection and of the life and the death of Christ. But this is why I believe. I have been studying the Christian faith for a long time now, and I believe now more than ever that yes, Jesus lived. I mean, you may not believe some of the things that are claimed about Jesus, but you must admit for a fact, Jesus lived. So I believe and follow Christ for historical reasons. But secondly, I follow Jesus for biblical reasons. Scriptural reasons. These two men were despondent, as I mentioned, and they had lost hope. Maybe you have lost hope and you wonder if you're going to make it. And these men had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who would deliver Israel from the cruel, barbaric tyranny of Rome and from their own religion. They had heard rumors about the resurrection. And then as Jesus was walking with them, somehow, this is a mystery, we don't know how this happened exactly, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't realize that they were with the risen Christ. So as Jesus is walking with them, and as they are discussing their despair and their depression and the seeming defeat of the cross, Jesus then said, "O foolish ones," verse 25, "and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And watch this, verse 27. "And beginning with Moses," that's the law, Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, "and all of the prophets," that's the history and the rest of the Old Testament, "beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted or explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." What a walk! For the 7-mile stretch these men are walking with Jesus, he begins to explain to them out of the scriptures, out of the great stories of the Bible, who he is, and portrayed in all of the stories of the Bible. I hope you've been watching the Bible series. I think it's been a fantastic thing. It's a really strong adaptation of the Bible, a dramatic presentation of the Bible, and it is action-packed, as you know, and it is filled with adventure and faith and forgiveness and the message of redemption, and it's been incredible to see the Bible come alive. I've loved the Bible since I was a small boy, but even now, even this, just to see some of these stories, high definition stories that are done so well, I've been encouraged by that. But imagine the Bible series that these men experienced when they walked with Jesus and he showed them in all the law, in all the prophets, in all the scriptures, those things concerning who? Himself. Why? Because of all of the truths of the Bible, and the Bible is true. Of all the truths of the Bible, the ultimate truth is that Jesus is the key to unlocking the meaning of the scripture. Because all of the Bible is about Jesus. From beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, it is the story of Jesus. It is the greatest story ever told. And so all of these epic Old Testament adventures and all of these great stories that we read in the New Testament of the miracles of Christ and the birth of the church and the growth of the Christian faith, all of that is to teach us this one central lesson. Though the Bible was written by 40 different authors, chosen by God, called by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit over 1,500, 1,600 years, though God preserved the text through the generations so that what we have is the veritable Word of God, there's still just one message, and it is the message that God loves you and that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again on the third day. And all the stories of the Bible in illustration, in type, picture, prophecy, portrayals, all of that is to introduce us to the real hero of the Bible, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is what the Bible is all about. So when he showed them in all the scriptures those things concerning himself, they believed ultimately for biblical and scriptural reasons, and so do I. I do believe the Bible. I've been studying it seriously for 40, 50 years. And the more I study the Bible, the more I read the Bible, and the more the Bible reads me, the more I believe in the trustworthiness of Scripture. Now, some people say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. I'm not sure about all those other guys who wrote the Bible. Well, then you've got a problem with logic because Jesus believed the Bible. In fact, some of the most difficult stories for some people to believe, Jesus clearly believed. Adam and Eve, for example, Noah and the great flood, Jonah and the great fish, Sodom and Gomorrah. All of that Jesus talked about, he believed it. Jesus said, "My word is true." And so when I read my Bible and God begins to step off the pages and into my life, I believe for scriptural reasons. I trust the Word of God. Thirdly, I believe for spiritual reasons. And I follow Jesus because of spiritual reasons. Now, there is a word here that says in verse 31 that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Now, after they invited him into their home along the way, ultimately their eyes were opened and physically they realized they were in the presence of the risen Christ. And that was a spiritual miracle. The Bible calls that the new birth. And I believe and follow Jesus because that miracle has happened in my life. When the Spirit of God opened my heart and opened my eyes to recognize Jesus and receive Jesus into my life. Maybe you're thinking, Jack, do you really expect me just to believe all these things and believe in the resurrection and sort of just close my eyes and just hope against hope that it's all true? No, I don't expect you to do that. You can't do that. You can't believe on your own. You know, you can't just decide, okay, I'm going to believe all of this. The Spirit of God must convince you, convict you of your sin, and then bring you into Christ, opening your eyes so that you see. And in that moment, when God opens your heart and opens your eyes, that spiritual life is regenerated in your own heart and in your own life. Did you know the Bible says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit enables us? Jesus said the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come and he will lead you to all truth. So it's not just believing intellectually, historically, or even biblically. Until the Spirit of God moves in your life and converts you and changes you from the inside out.
This week, believers around the world are celebrating the greatest event in history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For millions of people around the world, Easter is just another holiday. But I want to ask you a question. What if you didn't let this Easter season pass without sharing with someone the hope that you have in Jesus? Imagine the impact that you could have in the life of someone you know and love. To help you share the hope you have in Christ, we want to send you a copy of Pastor Graham's book, Triumph, How You Can Overcome Death and Gain Eternal Life. This book will help you or someone you know understand the true meaning of Easter and help them turn from darkness to light. Request your copy of Triumph when you visit jackgraham.org/Easter and use it to share the good news of Easter with someone you know.
This is why I follow Jesus. For historical reasons, for scriptural reasons, for biblical reasons, and yes, for spiritual reasons. But there's one more reason I follow Jesus, and that is for personal reasons. He changed my life. You read this story, and as these men reflected on their experience on the resurrection road, they said, didn't our hearts just catch fire? Didn't they just burn within us when we walked with him on this resurrection road? They were inflamed, impassioned by the living reality, the presence of Jesus in their lives. They encountered Easter when they met the living Lord. And that's my prayer for you, that you will not only believe intellectually, it's important to know the facts, But beyond the facts, the force and the power of the resurrection to change you from the inside out. And I tell you, and I've been following Christ on this resurrection road for a good while now. Through the tears, through the fears, good days and bad, through pleasure, through pain, through sorrow and in joy, I have discovered that He is always present, especially in the darkest hours of the night, especially when we, like these men, have almost lost hope. There was a dark day in my life and our family's life that took place now 42 years ago. I tell that story in my I Am Second video. I don't think we've ever showed it here in a service, but I brought it to give it to you today because it tells you why I follow Jesus. It was summer of 1970. I was in a place called Kroll, Texas, backside of nowhere, really. I was out actually preaching a youth revival when my brother called. He said, "Jack, you need to come to Fort Worth. Our dad's been hurt." He said he's been hit with a hammer. I can remember the night that he died, and literally the last time I walked in to see him and gripped his hand, asked him to squeeze my hand, it was a moment. There's a sense in which you think that your father is going to be there forever. And I believe every, you know, man, young boy, believes their father is indestructible. And that's the way I felt about my dad. He squeezed my hand ever so faintly, and I can't help but say that when I walked out of there, I thought, that's the last time I'm going to see him alive. My story really is the happy days growing up in the 50s and 60s in Arkansas and then in Texas. Those were the days of black and white television and the Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver families. Well, that was our family, really. You know, my dad was a good, strong dad, and spent a lot of time with my dad. We had a little drive-in called the Dandy Dog, a little small town in Arkansas, and I spent lots of hours, you know, running around his apron strings there at that drive-in. My dad was a Christian man, led us to church. I mean, it wasn't, you know, dad dropping us off to church and going somewhere else. And he closed down his drive-in on Sunday so that we weren't working on Sunday. We were in church. My dad was always proud of me. He never missed a ball game. He never was too tired to play catch. Never seemed to get upset if I was hanging out at his workplace. He really was my dad, but he was also a great, great friend. And I'm really thankful that I had the dad that God gave me. I came to Fort Worth, Texas as a young man, as a teenager. We moved over here, and I got all caught up in this youth ministry, this movement, really, that was happening in the late 60s. The Jesus movement was connecting from California, and in the midst of all of that, with student camps, youth camps, and mission trips, I began to sense God calling me. It was a compelling, it's hard to describe, but it's just a sense of, if I don't do this, you know, I'm going to die. If I don't do what I sense God is calling me to do, then I'm going to miss the reason that I'm here. It was summer of 1970. That was 38 years ago, and I was out actually preaching a youth revival when my brother called. So I was in the pulpit doing what God had called me to do, and excited to do it, but never imagining that our whole family was about to be thrown headfirst into one of the greatest trials of our lives. My dad had a hardware store. He worked for Buddy's Hardware in Fort Worth. Shoplifter came in and ended up with a hammer in his hand and bludgeoned my father in the parking lot. My father lived for 10 days. We waited and waited, praying each day that he would recover. He never regained consciousness. After 10 days, he did pass away and went on to heaven. Went down to the little chapel of Harris Hospital. Walked in there by myself late in the evening. And I can tell you this, that I sensed the presence of God in that room like few other times in my life. In the darkness of that night and incredible loss of that moment and just the traumatic experience of my dad being murdered and now we're the victims of violent crime and all this happiness and growing up, now just everything caves in. Obviously, my mother's devastated. We're all devastated. And yet in that room that night, the Spirit of God dealt with me in a very powerful way. I became extremely committed to lighting a light in the world in the midst of darkness. And, you know, the man who killed my father was 24 years of age. Why the anger? Why the rage in his life? I had to learn lessons of forgiveness when you are a victim of someone else's violence. You learn to deal with your feelings and your emotions on that. And I did. I refuse to be resentful or bitter or angry. It's a terrible thing to lose your father. I can say that my father, having left in this way, the wound of that, the grief of that, the hurt of that, God heals. I believe what happened that evening when my father died is I truly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus in my life and allowed him his rightful place of preeminence and power in my life. And as a young minister, that's an important life lesson to learn. And that it's not about me, it's not about my ministry, it's not being professional. It was an important lesson for me to learn. And that's always been the desire in my life, that people would see Jesus in my life and ministry. And the only way that can happen, I know, is for him to be first, for me to get out of the way and to let him have his rightful place in my life. I'm Jack Graham, and I am second.
Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed? I can tell you, you're listening to a man who is convinced that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he died for me and rose again for my eternal life and to all who will believe in him. I stand with the Apostle Paul, who said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until the day I meet him face to face. I'm convinced, I'm committed. And I can tell you, you know, maybe sometimes you look up here and you see some of us who are preaching and leading and you think, well, you know, they don't have many problems. Everything's been great. Well, let me tell you something. We have been abundantly blessed. Our family, we're so grateful. But we've known sorrow and pain and loss and hurt. But every step of the way, the living Christ has met us there. And I don't want you to take another step in your life without Jesus. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So if you want to receive Christ, pray a prayer, something like this. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again on the third day. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say, Jesus, I trust in you, Son of God, Savior of my life. I believe you died for me, rose again, and I welcome you into my life, and I want to live for you in the power of your Spirit until you come for me. Thank Him right now for hearing your prayer. If you prayed that prayer with me, then I want to welcome you to the family of God. And let me encourage you to find a Christ-exalting, Bible-believing church and begin attending every week. And when you're involved in a family of faith, then your faith will grow and you will find other believers that are there to support you and help you in your walk with Christ. And if you're in the Dallas area, let me invite you to visit us right here at Prestonwood. I would love to meet you personally and have you worship with us here each Sunday morning or Saturday night at Prestonwood. Thank you for being with us today on PowerPoint. And today only, I want to send you a copy of my book called Triumph, How You Can Overcome Death and Gain Eternal Life. Request your free book when you visit jackgraham.org. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And this book will help you or someone you know understand the true meaning of Easter and can turn them from the darkness to the light. Thanks for being with us for this special Easter edition of PowerPoint. We invite you to join us next time as we once again share the life-giving truth of Jesus Christ.